Listener, you're listening to Talk Sports.
When will Tennessee's administration get on their knees and look to me for an answer?
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Make noise. Make more noise to your administration. It is time to rebel. I, God, have your back, Tennessee fans.
This is so uncomfortable.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
God, why are you calling this show?
Because I care. You're good people.
Thank you, God. All these media people keep acting like we're the devil. You know the devil. We're not him.
They're all in Gainesville. Anyway, thanks for the time today. Love the show. Again, longtime listener.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
John Curry is an atheist.
Hour three, kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour three headlines. We'll start it with some good news. Starting Monday, Charlie Collier launching the Blitz, taking his seat, the return of Cody McClure. That's right, everyone. Cody McClure coming back Monday, August 15th, as we kind of reset our lineup, relaunch it. We've been keeping him alive through our rejoins, but we will soon have more to add starting August 15th.
Slowly bringing them back.
Pretty excited about that.
It's going to be fun.
I'm really going to miss trivia, man. Yeah. That's the one thing that just kind of hit me in the last hour is I'm not going to get to play trivia anymore.
Yeah, it is tough.
Could make you some Blitz trivia questions.
I was thinking about that. Am I allowed to do trivia on the Blitz, or is that just copy?
You have to do a different form of trivia.
Yeah, I feel like you guys don't really have enough time. Sorry. 2 hours, you don't really have time. Yeah, especially during football season. So you're out for trivia. Like cease and desist.
What if I did like Wednesday question answers?
No, I don't think so. I think you're out.
I don't know. It's different than trivia.
I hate it for you. I hate it for you. Maybe you can.
I do. What about quizzes?
Maybe you can just like still listen in and play in your car, or check out the podcast and try to answer yourself. Can't wait for all the text messages from Charlie. I would have known that one.
Well,
sure.
Cam, do you treat Cody the same way you do me, and unfairly and unjust? Or
we played a different style of trivia whenever Cody was here.
Did you?
Yeah, it was a little bit more confusing. There was like 24 numbers, no categories, and
you just pick a number.
If you picked a number that had already been picked, you just didn't get to answer a question because you had to pay attention to remember like which numbers had been asked.
Yeah.
He had a problem with, like, paying attention.
Yeah, so he would pick the same number a few times.
So we played a little bit different. We revamped the style.
Music quiz?
We did do a music quiz on Fridays. I don't know if we'll bring that back. I don't know. We haven't really gotten together yet and, like, went through. Are we just going to run back the same exact format or change or what? We don't know. We got to figure it out. It all came together fairly quickly, but that's the surest sign that there's some excitement in Knoxville for football is that Cody's like, hey, I want to do sports radio again. So,
kind of smarter than all the rest of us, just taking the couple bad years off and hopping back in.
Yeah. But, Charlie wanted to go do his thing. I told him he could stay on with us. It's not because we argued all the time, which, by the way, I wanted to point out before we get to winners and losers, your Milwaukee Brewers, by the way. They don't look like they got a lot better after trading Josh Hader. I'll tell you that much.
I mean,
looks like that team's falling apart.
They were trending down
Looks like the team is falling apart, and they're mad that their franchise gave up on them. Is now they're out of the playoff. They're out of the playoffs currently after losing what?
They were trending that direction before.
They've lost what, 5 of the last 6 games to the Reds and Pirates. But either way, let's get to some hour three headlines. We'll talk more about the format reshuffle throughout the week. Like I said, we'll have some of the new Blitz guys come in here and get to know you before we, you know, send them on their way to 10 a.m. to lead in our show. Cam, hit some headlines for us.
Apparently, it's just a whole debacle at the New York Giants training camp today.
Okay.
Apparently, for one, obviously, as people probably expect, Daniel Jones has apparently been awful today. So people are talking about that. I think he's trending on number one in sports right now on Twitter just off the fact that he's been so bad today. And it's one of those, you know, pretty big, like, in the stadium, give fans a chance or, you know, come out and watch and all that kind of stuff. So the fans are there observing this as well. Also, there's been a bunch of fights today. Apparently, at one point today, the defense didn't like when Saquon Barkley lowered his shoulder more than they, you know, thought was necessary and, you know, just a little drill they were doing. Defense didn't like it. The Giants center went to kind of defend that. Ended up fighting the linebacker a few plays later. And ended up sucker punching another linebacker. So they just got a lot of stuff going on right now in the Giants camp. And it seems like they're not trending in the right direction as a organization.
I saw a lot of bad throws from Daniel Jones over the weekend.
Yeah.
I don't want to jinx myself, but I don't really believe in that. I'm happy the Titans get the Giants week one.
Yeah, it seems like they're going to be a
mess. I believe in Daniel Jones.
I believe in Daniel Jones, too. I believe in Daniel Jones continuing to suck like he has forever. Now, you know, better coach there, obviously, now, with at least a better offensive mind in Brian Daboll. But who's their backup? Is Geno still their backup? Who's their backup?
No, Geno's in
Geno's
Seattle.
Not there? Geno's in Seattle. Geno's in Seattle. Okay, sorry.
Fighting for the starting job.
Yeah, do they have a backup? It was going to be Mr. Trubisky. Like, weren't they going
to
sign him there?
Tried,
wasn't
yeah.
that one of the no, thoughts that he was going to follow? I know he's not there, but he was going to follow Daboll there, I thought.
It was just the Weddle the other day, I thought.
Do they have anybody?
Tyrod Taylor's
his
backup, yeah.
Okay, so somebody that also kind of sort of followed him from Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Tyrod had that job in, like, week 3 or 4.
I wouldn't either.
I would
at least been serviceable when he's been out there.
I think that that Daniel Jones looks decent enough this year to be in the conversation to be a starter next year.
And I don't think you mean a starter in New York or just anywhere.
Anywhere.
I'll say he's not, but we shall see. Former Vol Justin Powell has received a waiver from the NCAA and is now eligible to play for Washington State this upcoming basketball season. So, two-time transfer, third team in 3 years, but the NCAA, with the help of Tennessee, I believe, vouching for him, is allowing him to play this upcoming season. I hope he plays well because I thought he had some talent. So I hope he kind of puts it together, especially since he's just up there like in the Northwest and not really bothering us at all.
Tyrod Taylor did take a couple first-team reps after a bad play from Daniel Jones today.
I wouldn't be, like I said, game four. By week four, I think he'll be starting.
So I'm surprised Tony's had some drop issues this camp as well.
A good time to play them. Like last year, I thought I was happy to play the Cardinals week one.
John, it's not a good time to play them.
Didn't they get smashed this week? Like last year when they were like honoring the first responders for like the 20-year anniversary?
Oh, what a collapse.
Didn't they have the Eagles in town for that and everything?
Yeah, I think
so. Was that the game?
I think you're right.
Or was it the Eagles? Or did the Giants win that game? Was that the game that like that Jalen Hurts was so bad in? And they won like 13-10 or something like that?
Giants?
Maybe that was that
schedule.
Game. Because I know they lost to the – was that the one they got tackled like the Hail Mary? Or not Hail Mary, but like a – minute drill that Hurts
so
was trying to
it would
bring
have been
in.
9/11 last year.
I don't think it was like the anniversary of 9/11 last year. I think it was like
I was gonna say they lost just on 9/12
honoring the first responders.
Yeah, I think they're doing like a first responders thing.
I'm looking at specifically their
they won the home game 13-7. That might have been it actually. Anyways, let's move on.
Yeah,
we're not losing to the damn New York Giants.
Yeah, you don't want it to come on. Never mind. Speaking of New York and Jets, the Jets offensive lineman, Mekhi Becton, limped off of the practice field today with a knee injury. They said it's going to get reevaluated. I think they're trying to claim that it's not serious, but apparently did not look good throughout practice as he was limping a ton and had to basically leave the field. So another possible injury just in training camp here. So not good for them, as he'd be a big part of keeping the offensive line together.
Yeah, yeah, not good for the Jets. I'm excited to see how like they look this year and how like that division plays out.
I'm excited to see the other three teams.
Yeah, I just mean the whole division. Like I'm very curious.
Like
about
I'm excited
all of it.
To see the Jets, Dolphins, and Patriots because I the way I look at all four of those teams, I think that they're a little bit more mysterious than just about any other team. Like I think that they're all around, a couple games under 500, but like I could see them moving in three games, like either direction, wins or losses from that.
That's fair. And with the Patriots, I think they could be a complete disaster. I think the Dolphins could be really good, but also there's a chance that, Tua just sucks and everyone hates him and we get some funny Tua non videos. I'm pumped. I'm very, very close to being like champing at the bit for football. I'm very, very close.
Every morning now I've been watching the Good Morning Football inside training camp coverage, and it's really getting me going.
Okay.
This morning they spent like 45 minutes at Panthers training camp, and I was still excited. So I think that's how ready for football I am at this point. They did a whole segment on the fact that Baker Mayfield jerseys are now available for purchase. Not even all sizes either, just youth sizes. Or Baker Mayfield sizes.
Some entertainment news as a live action. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I just saw it.
I don't know, like, I know there's a new trend for, these cartoons and video games and such to get live action movies. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I'd ever get this one, but apparently we're getting a live action Pac-Man movie. What the hell are we supposed to do with this?
I don't know what that's going to be like. Thought we had that with that one terrible Kevin James movie and Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that was basically, what was that, Pixels?
Yeah.
Pac-Man was in that one. What's the plot? Like, all I think about with Pac-Man, like, I don't think of any backstory. What, I think of he just wants to eat things and eat ghosts, and the ghosts want him. I don't need a backstory to that.
I don't know what they could be possibly.
Not everyone
doing.
Needs a damn live-action movie.
Is Pac-Man going to have feet?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have to be played by humans. Like, is he going to run around?
Well, no, they'll probably make him animated and have, like, people.
Well, Pac-Man has shoes on.
Like, the way they did, like, the Sonic movie.
Does he?
Yeah, when you see Pac-Man, he has little red boots on, right?
Yeah.
Like I thought he was just like, a circular being.
That's just for the game, but like the mascot-ish guy.
Okay, that's fair. Pac-Man, on the game, he doesn't have feet, but like whenever I see pictures of him, like this picture I'm seeing right here, he has feet.
Yeah.
I'd imagine he'll still be CGI. They're not just going to put like a costume on a guy and like
I guess
have
in
him
my
out
head
there.
When I thought live action, I immediately thought Pac-Man has to be played by a human.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to happen. He'll be voiced by a human.
Is
he going to talk, I guess? I don't know.
We pay a high budget actor to just make that sounds.
Maybe. I guess we'll give it to Chris Pratt.
Could you imagine the audition? Could you imagine the audition
Mario and Pac-Man? Just yeah. I keep forgetting he's making that Mario movie. I don't even know when that's coming out. Have you watched that new Predator movie yet?
Prey?
Yeah.
I have not. I've seen people say it's good, but gotta be honest, the Predator franchise doesn't do much for me.
I haven't watched it yet either. That's probably my plan today or tomorrow. But
the Predator series isn't doing anything for me. I watched the first one like recently, and I just thought about how terrible it was. So I didn't want to watch any of the sequels. I've never been really interested in it. The Prey movie's got enough buzz now that I might break down and watch it.
Mm-hmm. I'm into it. And everybody was telling me it's good, so I'm here for it. I'm excited.
The Titans released their first unofficial depth chart.
Nice. You know what?
Who did?
The Titans.
Don't really care about that.
No, like not even a little bit.
I already looked at it, but like I didn't see anything interesting enough to talk about.
How do you unmute words?
I saw a couple
on Twitter.
So
I think I should probably about time I can unmute the Titans.
Thanks, Cam. It's growth.
I should at least. Yeah, you don't have any things that I wanted anymore.
That's growth. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, we had some baseball news over the weekend. Some teams floundering. That was, if I'm a Mets fan, I feel pretty good coming out of that weekend, right?
Yeah.
Like you kind of, It feels like the Atlanta Braves are at a crossroads right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you spanked them.
You spanked them 4 out of 5. And you had the Braves a little upset about it, too. It's never a good sign when you go start talking about, like, advanced metrics and, well, a lot of their base hits weren't hard hits and
oh, I heard got so lucky. Many Braves fans. I'm so tired of watching Jeff McNeil hit a ball 78 miles an hour exit velo, but it lands for a double. And then
I mean, it's frustrating.
Yeah, I'd be pissed off, too. But if it happens enough for them to win 5 out of 6 games, maybe you need to start taking some accountability.
Yeah, to me, yesterday's game, the story was obviously Jacob DeGrom, who gets his first win and
yeah, I mean, it takes a real special team to beat Jacob DeGrom this year, and you know we're the only ones that have done it. So I understand the Braves couldn't figure it out.
Okay, so you're back. You're we again. You're happy with the Nationals.
I mean, I was never not we.
Mad. Well, you're
even,
mad at
even
them,
then,
though.
I'm mad that we traded Juan Soto.
Sure.
Juan Soto is not who I'm a fan of. It's
just
the
checking.
Nationals.
We're just checking to see it.
No, I mean Juan Soto can be
13-1 yesterday. My goodness.
We're trying our best. Well, actually, not really. We're
anyway
34.5 games.
We're not
back.
Talking about the Nationals. They are irrelevant. I'm just pointing out that Jacob DeGrom got his first win since June of 2021, when coincidentally enough he beat the Braves, was unhittable for most of the day. Took a perfect game to 2 outs in the 6th inning. Had the slider working. Saw that his slider, you know, he had 20 swings on it, 18 misses, 0-for-9 batters with 9 strikeouts whenever they actually, you know, were able to, you know, do something against it. But a bad week for the Braves as they struggle and go from a half game back in the standings to they come out of New York now 6 back. So it feels like that division, I'm not going to say it's clinched because it's not.
Did you see the fans too? The Mets fans doing the tomahawk chop chant?
Well, you know, they got a little bit of a like a Florida Gator chomp thing with it, right? Like, as Tennessee fans, we know the best thing we can do is, like, ironically do the Gator chomp to Florida fans. So it feels like the Braves tomahawk chop is not that dissimilar from it, right? Like, if your team's getting beat down like they did this weekend, yeah, of course the Mets are all of a sudden going to hit the tomahawk chop on you.
As you were saying, though, it does feel like the Mets have fully grabbed control back and grabbed control of their narrative back a little bit, too. There was a point in time when Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom went down where they were up, you know, at that point in time, a pretty nice
12
margin
games, right?
In the division. And, you know, things got pretty close. But a lot of that was the Braves just playing the way they were expected to play from the beginning and getting hot and playing good baseball. And, you know, despite all of that, the Mets have kept winning, even though their fans have been upset and people have kept saying, oh, it's only a matter of time until the Braves catch you. Well, the Mets have just continued to get the job done. And, I mean, they've now hit that 70-win mark. They're just the fourth team in Major League Baseball to hit that 70-win mark. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They did just get the lead back up to 6.5 games. And now you have DeGrom back and looks like DeGrom, and Scherzer's been back for about a month and looks like Max Scherzer. This is a team that should be taken seriously as a World Series contender, and I think that they will just keep the division
locked up. Is there a lineup good enough to win a World Series?
I mean, it has the star power. When you have Francisco Lindor and when you have Pete Alonso and Starling Marte and, you know, a pretty good rest of the lineup, too. Like, I would think that would be good enough. You need everyone, obviously, to be on the same page come postseason. Like, you don't need anyone slumping that you're relying on overly or too much or anything. But, I mean, Lindor.
I know Lindor's a stud. I know Marte's
and, like,
good.
Pete Alonso is getting ready to surpass, like, the 30 home run mark. Brandon Nimmo's having a good year. Like, Jeff McNeil is as solid and sturdy as ever. They did trade for, you know, Daniel Vogel back to get a little extra pop, like, off the bench. Like, I think that they have some different pieces off the bench that provide interesting elements for the postseason as well. Besides the fact that the Mets just choke for no other reason than it just being in their DNA, I would think the Mets, outside of, you know, the Dodgers or the Padres, maybe would be as much of a favorite as anybody.
Cardinals been playing really well, too.
Yeah, I mean, they,
Cardinals have won, what, 7 in a row and just swept the Yankees?
Yeah, and...
Or not, yeah, just beat down the Yankees. Like, I mean, Cardinals seem to, you know, there's two teams that's going the other way. We talked about the Brewers and their fall down. Meanwhile, the Cardinals are on fire and have passed them, and there's just something about the Cardinals' DNA that I'll take them in almost any playoff series just because I just feel like whenever they...
I would
get
too.
There. They're
I
a
actually,
team that's just
I
like
really
a bunch
like
of
the Cardinals a lot. I would take this team.
So I just wanted to include them when you're talking about teams in the NL because, like, the.
Well, I don't think that. I'm not sure if they performed. Yeah, you're right. I guess they really do deserve to be included. They're not necessarily on that same level as the Mets or the Dodgers this year, but
right.
If I'm going to include the Padres, I guess you should include the Dodgers too.
That was my
point.
I mean,
the Cardinals too, because they do have an MVP. I mean, not even candidate at this point, just they're going to have the man that wins the MVP unless he misses every game the rest of the year. You know, they do have another certified star, Nolan Arenado. Like, they do have the pitching in both the back half and in the rotation. So you're right. You know, the Cardinals may be included in that breath too.
I'm excited for this playoff push here, actually. And like I do, man, that scene from the Mets game yesterday stood out whenever they're bringing in Edwin Diaz and they got the Matador music going on. That was just pretty badass. Like,
we're getting a really good close to this season.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I have been checked out of baseball, but the storylines are now here and there's some teams that I'm interested in. Maybe the most in the NL would probably be the Mets just because I want to see DeGrom in the playoffs. Like, we've only gotten to see that 1 year. And, I mean, he was pretty damn good whenever he was it was there in the playoffs. But, like, that was, what, 2015? Is that it? That's the only time we got to see him was 2015? Like, I want to see what him and Scherzer can do at the top of that lineup because this might be the best chance for the Mets to win if both those guys are healthy. They might have the best 1-2 punch going.
More than that, I think they have the best 1-2-3 punch going.
Okay.
If you want to include Carlos Carrasco in that too.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, he has a sub-4 ERA. Like, he has the strikeout numbers. Chris Bassitt has been the same way too. Like, yeah, okay, if you want to separate it into best 1-2 punch and then best rotation, they might have close to both.
Yeah.
But in terms of the playoffs, I mean, you do have the Mets storyline going with them digging into ground back and then finally trying to put an entire season together. You do have the Braves.
Defending champs.
Right there as the defending champs that are going to be a very tough out, whether they're the wild card or they find a way to win the division.
I wonder if the Braves, like, that was a deflating series, but, like, maybe more so deflating is, like, yesterday you get another healthy scratch for Acuna, and, like, he's mm-hmm. openly talking about how he's kind of lost confidence in his knee and how some days it feels good, some days it doesn't feel good, and some days he can't get power on it, and you're just kind of like, man, like, he's supposed to be the face of the franchise, like, once, you know, you lose mm-hmm. Freddie. And I know they've had Austin Riley kind of step up and grab that, and Matt Olson's been great. But, like, Acuna, I would be just a little worried about him. And, I mean, I'm sure they are a little worried about him. And this is another kind of insult to injury that, you know, the season, I don't want to say it was on the line because that's too extreme, but it did feel like the division was on the line yesterday, and Acuna's a scratch because the turf might be a little wet. In a game where you could win that and get back to 4.5. And if you come out that weekend down 4.5 games with 50 remaining, it feels obviously a lot better than you come out of it with 6.5 back. Phillies are red hot too. The Phillies, you know, I mean, got to think they got at least a chance of passing the Braves, right? 3 games back?
Yeah, at least a chance. I don't think their pitching is good enough.
Sure.
Like, they are just going to either have to outscore everyone or they're not going to win anything.
Seems like we're pretty much down to a 4-team race for 3 playoff spots in the wild card. Like, the Braves should be clear in the wild card. The Padres, and then, you know, just kind of a Phillies and Brewers race for that last spot is what it seems like. The Giants might be able to get back into it, but I don't think so. And then, yeah, I mean, speaking of, like, kind of deflating series, the Padres go out and get Juan Soto and – You know, they're currently on a 4-game losing streak and got embarrassed by their big brother that they're desperately trying to catch with the Dodgers. But no, yeah, I am. I'm getting set for a nice little playoff run here. I do think there are some pretty cool storylines going on.
My favorite one of all of them.
What is it?
Are the Orioles going to sell and still find a way to just keep scratching to make that last wild card spot?
I think if you're a fan of the Orioles, like, the fact that they just claw and, like, keep giving you games to watch, that's a win. Like, just don't fold.
Yeah, if you're a fan of the Orioles, you're already obviously incredibly happy, but
It could sour the season, though, if you fall apart over the last 2 months. So it's like, if you keep scratching, you come up a little bit short, like, you can still at least have games that matter. And for some franchises, that's enough. Like, just give me meaningful games. Give me some reason to wake up and check the standings in the morning or to scoreboard watch. Like, that's enough.
I mean, at this point, we're at what? 56 plus 52.
We're basically 100. We're basically 50 games away.
50 games away?
Yeah, 50 games away.
So like, just give me. I think the Orioles still have enough to have important games the rest of the way.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know.
They traded their closer, and they traded Trey Mancini, but, like, they still have Mountcastle and Mateo and Mullins and Hayes and Santander.
When you're 2 games back, though, and, like, every game, like, you could easily, you know,
7-3 in their last 10.
I know, but you could easily have, like, a bad week and then all of a sudden be 5 back, and then it feels a lot more, you know, hopeless. So
I mean,
it's a fickle race for
them. They do have a stretch coming up, 3 with the Blue Jays, 1 with the Red Sox, 3 with the Rays, 3 more with the Blue Jays. So I guess, actually, with the Orioles, you'll know by the 17th of August whether they're going to still be alive for that stretch run or not. They make it out of that.
Cam, send us to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. For a couple of hours on a beautiful day. Winners and losers of the weekend brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine. If you're not active right now because of any discomfort or pain that is limiting any of your activities, check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine. Located in Memphis, but people come from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life without surgery. Visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com to learn more. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Cam, hit that music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers, winners and losers, winners and losers.
Cam, who do you think won this weekend?
All right, my number 3 winner of the weekend, I gave it to Sabrina Ionescu, the WNBA player. She became the first WNBA player to record a 500-200-200 season.
Okay.
Just as the WNBA kind of wrapped up over the weekend. So yeah, good for her. You know, first time ever. It's always cool to be the first in something. So congrats to her. Makes her a winner.
I guess she's living up to the hype.
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Of kind
for
of being, you know, a woman that could do it all.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So the regular season's over?
Yep. Ended over the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. It may be a couple more games. I know some teams' seasons ended over the weekend. I do know that for sure. All right, my number 2 winner of the weekend, I gave it to Man City and Erling Haaland. He's the 22-year-old striker that they got from he played in the Bundesliga last year with Dortmund. And he came over to Man City in the offseason or in the transfer window. And he made his Premier League debut with 2 goals to get Man City a 2-0 win in their season opener in the Premier League. So, looks like he's the real deal and everything they hoped from him. And this has to be a good feeling that you got somebody in and they immediately start producing. That was a win for them. And my number 1 winner of the weekend is football fans, because that was the last weekend where there was no football until way down the line.
Let's go.
And you survived it. You made it. You made it here. You did it.
I guess that's what I read. This that made me think there was no football. I guess I didn't realize that there was no football this last weekend.
Yeah, it was just, I guess, with the Thursday game. So.
I guess that's what I read. So,
yeah,
I don't care about
you survived the last weekend without any sort of football unless you've been watching the Canadian Football League, then you've been thriving still. But, yeah, you made it. You did it. It's all downhill from here. We're almost there. You get to see your team walk out on the field soon. and it will bring you immense joy and happiness to your life until they end up losing, and then the joy is stripped away and you go into a dark pit of despair. But right now, it's all sunshine and rainbows, so enjoy it. You did it.
Oof, buddy.
Hey, John, who'd you have winning?
My biggest winners of the weekend, I went number three, Hulu. I thought Hulu Hulu dominated a lot of conversation over the weekend. Not all good, but hey, all publicity is good publicity.
Absolutely.
Now, if Mike Tyson ends up beating somebody's ass over there, that might change my story. But Mike Tyson was very, very angry all weekend that they are, you know, basically stealing his life story and doing a Tyson TV series that I guess he did not give them the permission to do. But it kind of make me intrigued to see how it goes. And then, of course, their Predator prequel, Prey, kind of the hottest movie out right now. I know it didn't release in theaters, but they've been getting a lot of praise for it. And quite frankly, that's one of the first times I can remember saying that about Hulu.
Yeah, honestly.
I mean, they had any like other original stuff that really like
not that
made
I
you excited?
Think of off the mind. I think they had a couple.
Sure, they've had
series
a couple.
They've had some things, but like nothing that I look back on and remember well.
I really can't remember any of them. I've never been like, hey, I gotta go to Hulu. Like, I go to Hulu to watch, I guess, Murders in the Building. I like that show.
Okay, yeah.
Just because I like Selena and Steve Martin. Like, that's a good cast. I like it. And it's not, I wouldn't call it great TV or anything. I would go there to watch, like, you know, Dave and
Yeah, the Bear. They do a good job with, like, the FX.
Yeah, those, like, FX shows, though. Like, I don't even think of them as, like, Hulu shows, but. Either way, they got a win with Prey over the weekend. Number two winner, Edwin Diaz. I just want to watch this guy run out of the bullpen all the time now after I hear the trumpets. And then number one, I gave it to some NL teams. I gave it to the New York Mets and St. Louis Cardinals. The Mets go a long way to burying their rival, and the Cardinals, you know, sweep the Yankees and are riding high themselves. Cam, who lost this weekend?
All right, my number three loser of the weekend, I gave it to the Arizona Cardinals. Kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit, I guess, over the weekend and stuff like that. But they're still having all these debacles going on. And the latest one was the running back coach had to take administrative leave after domestic battery charges. So just another distraction for the Cardinals. I think there was also a quote over the weekend where Kingsbury was talking about how Kyler sometimes like shakes his head when he calls plays. And he's like, hey, sometimes I just let him do it to show him how hard it is. And stuff like that. So it just seems like they... I think them and the Giants are destined for terrible years is what it's trending like is from what I've been seeing as far as stuff going on. But, yeah, the Cardinals, just a mess. So they are my number three loser of the weekend. Number two loser of the weekend, I gave it to the WNBA. Sue Bird played her last regular season game. So that was sad for the league.
Did they make the playoffs?
I'm not sure.
Nice to see
Evan,
you be such a fan of the team.
I just know the Atlanta Dream didn't, so...
They didn't?
I don't know, actually. I just said that.
Do you know anything about the...
Not really.
Okay.
Except that they lost this weekend. Sue Bird's gone from the regular season. And the LA Sparks had a travel debacle to where they ended up having their plane getting canceled. And they had to sleep in the airport over the weekend. I can't think of any other professional team that has had a situation like that arise. So, not a good look for them. People were kind of bashing them a little bit by that. But, yeah, I don't know who's winning in the... divisions or leagues or anything. I haven't kept up with it that well. Bad down year for me with the WNBA. I just wasn't feeling it this year. Usually I'm locked in. That's what I need Hayden for. But yeah.
Is Hayden?
He's our women's basketball person.
Yeah.
Well, I know he's big game Hayden when it comes to
the Lady Vols.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But same with WNBA. He makes the trip all the time.
But then he follows the ladies to the.
Is he a Miami Soul fan?
I don't know who he roots for.
Is that a team, or did I make that up?
I think you kind of made that up.
I was going to say, I don't know who the hell the Miami Soul are.
No?
I don't think they have a team in Miami.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Miami.
I don't think the Miami. Soul. I don't feel like the Miami Soul is a real thing.
Oh, it is.
Oh.
What?
That's a WNBA team, right?
What?
No, it's not. I don't know what Cam's
about. Oh, no, they got dissolved in 2002. They used to be one.
Okay.
When I Googled it, 2002? It says WNBA team.
This guy can barely this guy can't remember anything before 2015. All of a sudden, he's pulling out the Miami Soul.
Where'd that come
They didn't even they spelled Soul, S-O-L.
Well, yeah, like sun.
Like solar.
Like the Spanish word for sun, Cam. Duh.
I know, but when you were saying Soul,
don't
I was
remember
saying
those
like
shirts
soul.
Like Del Sol or whatever, that when the sun shines, they Colors came out?
Hey, man, I don't know Spanish.
No, I don't. Man, we've come.
The only Spanish I know is.
The Sparks and Lynx have fallen off. Mm-hmm. I remember when those were the two premier franchises. They're both sitting at 13 and 20, I guess, competing with New York.
In the airport,
man,
too.
Poor Ionescu. She's up there in New York trying to drag them to the playoffs with a 500, 200, 200 season, and they're still only 13 and 19.
Did they still make it in?
they're a half game behind the Phoenix Mercury.
Oh, I got a notification yesterday about the WNBA playoff race.
Who the Mercury? the Mercury have had to overcome a lot. I mean, they got Taurasi and Brittany Griner.
Yeah, I mean,
and then,
your best player is in a Russian prison.
I don't know if that's their best player, but
really, I figured she just was.
Oh, the Dreamer fourth in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, she wasn't really.
Could you imagine if? Just right before the Titan season started, it was just like, oh, by the way, like.
How many teams make playoffs in the WNBA?
Eight? Eight of the 12.
Oh, so.
I mean, I don't have to go.
I
don't have to go too far to think this because, the Hawks were a one seed one time and going to win an NBA championship, and then the crooked, racist New York Police Department broke Thabo Sefolosha's leg, 2 months before the playoffs, and he had to miss the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
He had to go sit in a Russian prison, but.
Close.
They broke his leg. The Indiana Fever have apparently lost 16 games in a row. My goodness, they are
awful.
5-29. Hopefully they get a good number one pick.
I'm cracking up that so many of these teams are under 500. And
you would think that, it wouldn't be possible for that many teams to be under 500. Somebody's got to be over 500.
Especially when one team's 5-29 with 16 straight losses. You got any other? Was that?
Yeah, that was my number two. My number one loser of the weekend, Pete Davidson. Getting clowned a little bit. Apparently, he also proposed to her right before they broke up, so he's down bad.
Oh, no.
So I'm sure he's down bad. He's got these tattoos of those kids' names on his body for some reason, and now he's stuck with that, and now Kanye's making fake news headlines, and it's just going back to where he belongs.
Yeah, it's tough. My biggest loser of the weekend, number three, I went with a couple baseball teams. I thought the Brewers and the Padres.
Okay.
Big losers, the Brewers. It's never a good sign when you go read the team's replies after they post the losing graphic and every fan is just mad at them, but that's kind of where they're at right now. Mm-hmm. And then the Padres just beat up by little brother. The Dodgers spanked them, made them call him daddy. Number two, my second biggest loser of the weekend, Royce O'Neal. You can't do that to your mama, bro. Come on. Come on.
What did Royce O'Neal do to his mama?
He was hosting a basketball camp. His mom tried to guard him in the post. She was putting too much weight on him. He did a nice little spin move, and she fell down.
Oh.
And then laid there. So it was funny. I don't think she was hurt, but can't do that to your mama. Come on. And number one, Cam, I was kind of right there with you. I went with Pete's. Rose and Davidson.
Okay, yeah.
Pete Rose was in the news again?
Yeah, but whenever Pete Rose is in the news, it's for bad stuff. He was asked about statutory rape questions that he's like, hey, I'm not answering that, and then called a woman babe, the reporter babe. And then, his people's like, hey, you got to apologize to her. So before he apologized, he asked if he offended her. I was like, will you be okay if I sign 1,000 baseballs for you? Which, there's no way Pete Rose baseballs are still worth anything. There's going
to
be so many of those.
I mean, if he's willing to sign 1,000 of them,
that's what I'm
saying.
That's all he does is just sign baseballs. They can't be worth anything. And then he went and got in the booth for the Phillies and said a couple of questionable things and cursed on air. So it was a bad weekend for Pete's. We and of course, Cam already talked about Davidson. Although, not bad publicity, not bad timing. His new scary movie's coming out, so.
Yeah. So, fair enough.
I think he's a winner, really, for getting broken up with and just avoiding for the future.
Proposing him and it breaking up, it's got to be rough on him.
I'm actually interested to see, who he ends up with next.
Well, sometimes, Cam, God's greatest gift are unanswered prayers. So for Pete Davidson, he might be short-term loser, long-term winner. I think he's long-term winner.
I don't really like Pete Davidson.
I hate Pete Davidson.
I like his movies, though.
I love Pete Davidson. I'm a
that
huge Pete Davidson fan.
That checks out. Last call on the other side.
I don't
want
to like him.
Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest management company.
Last call here on the program. We got some Kevin Durant news. He updates his trade request.
It's getting spicy.
Are you going to stop or do you just want me to read it?
I
didn't know if you wanted to hear it. But in a meeting with the Nets owner, Joe Tsai, Kevin Durant reiterated his trade request and informed Tsai that Tsai needs to choose between Durant or the pairing of general manager Sean Marks and head coach Steve Nash. So I guess this is him saying he does not have faith in the team's direction. They spoke in London on Saturday. Sources described the discussion as transparent and professional, according to Shams. The Nets have direct knowledge of the reasons behind Durant's request and understand that the 12-time All-Star will continue to be resolute in his stance. So, like, do you take this as a good thing or a bad thing? Like, hey, he's open to staying in Brooklyn as long as we break up the head coach GM tandem. It doesn't mean we have to fire both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like the Nets should be, like, championship contender next year if they keep Kevin Durant. Like, they should be, like, they'll probably be the favorites again, like, but, like, this time actually, like, be the best team in the East and make sense. Like, getting Ben Simmons back is a big deal. Getting Joe Harris is a big deal. Like,
adding Royce O'Neal even is
and T.J. Warren.
T.J. Warren,
like, those are both wing players that can at least be upgrades over what they had last year. Like, I would rather have Royce O'Neal and T.J. Warren out there than old-ass Blake Griffin and, you know, old-ass LaMarcus Aldridge.
They still have
and,
Seth Curry.
Yeah, yeah.
Even better.
But like they brought in, you know, some key pieces. They kept Patty Mills and Nick Claxton. And, again, Joe Harris and Ben Simmons should be back. So, like, the team, if they have Durant and Kyrie, are maybe the most talented in the East.
If you're Tsai, do you not just – or can you even do this? Can you not just look at KD and just be like, no?
You can.
I'm going to keep – RGM, I'm going to keep Steve Nash, and I'm going to keep you, and you're just going to play some basketball, and we're going to win a championship.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can do that.
But
owners have done it before.
Do you think that would work? Like, would KD take it to a place where he just doesn't play? Just refuses?
That's the game of chicken you have to be willing to play. I don't think.
Because I'd call him out on his bluff.
I don't think
Durant would
do it either.
He's the kind of guy that's always kind of seemed, at the end of the day, like, hey, he still wants to be a hooper.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's never been all that huge of a personality outside of basketball. Like, basketball, even though he seems to get disinterested in places at times and, you know, seems to kind of be a little bit dramatic, he still seems like just a hooper that wants to go play basketball. So I don't think he'd sit out. I think eventually he would just, like you just went through, say, okay, well, wait, you know, this is the roster. Like, we should be able to win a championship. Maybe we can just go do that instead.
Feels a little dirty to do this to Steve Nash, especially, like, whenever the idea was that, like, Kevin Durant kind of picked Steve Nash.
Yeah.
And wanted him as the coach. Because they had a pretty good coach that everyone respected in Kenny Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made him, you know, they basically, you know, made the Nets fire Kenny Atkinson for Steve Nash. So, like, I'd be a little upset if I was the Nets owner. I'd be like, well, we're giving you what you want. You can't then get mad that we gave you what you want. And I don't think it's fair to fire Sean Marks because Sean Marks is the GM that built something that was good enough to attract Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Like, they were doing okay without those guys. They were, you know,
Carissa
a seven
Hurt,
seed.
Tearing it up.
Right. I mean, at least they were, like, stayed competitive. They had kind of rebuilt some things. So, I don't know. It was a if I was the Nets, I'd be pretty
you
upset with this.
You can't keep catering to a guy that, even when you meet his demands, could still just make more demands 2 months later.
Remember that, ladies in the dating world. Don't cater to that man at all. The drive's up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.